I'm Mike Rush, an Australian correspondent based in Jerusalem, reporting for Sitrep Israel. Welcome to another episode of Sitrep Israel, an automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This Sitrep was generated on Thursday, the 30th of April 2026 at 3:21 Israel time, 0:21 UTC. Trump urges Iran to just give up as oil surges, flotilla intercepted. President Trump told Iran to just give up and vowed to maintain the naval blockade indefinitely until a nuclear deal is reached, as Brent crude surged past $117 a barrel and the United Arab Emirates confirmed its exit from OPEC effective May 1st. The Pentagon disclosed the war has cost $25 billion over 61 days with no end date set. Trump characterized Iran as choking like a stuffed pig and said talks are ongoing over the phone, rejecting an earlier Iranian proposal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz without addressing its nuclear program. Backwardation in oil markets signals acute physical scarcity, with Hormuz transits remaining at just 4 vessels per day. Domestically, Iran has arrested over 4,000 civilians and executed 21 since the war began, signaling regime fear of internal unrest, while the intelligence ministry dismantled a 3-member terrorist cell planning attacks on governorate buildings in western Iran. The currency and gold prices surged sharply, with the US dollar jumping more than 26,000 tomans in 2 days. On the diplomatic front, the ICRC president visited civilian areas in Tehran hit by recent US-Israeli strikes, and Pakistan's prime minister said Islamabad will continue efforts to restore peace. Now turning to the regional sections, in Lebanon, Hezbollah launched multiple loitering glider attacks on IDF Merkava tanks near Beit Leif and Qantara, achieving confirmed hits. The group also targeted a gathering of Israeli vehicles and soldiers in Al-Bayada with 2 gliders. Sirens sounded in Misgav Am over suspected drone infiltration, later determined to be a false identification. The IDF struck approximately 20 Hezbollah military infrastructure sites in Barashit and Shakra, including weapons storage facilities and command centers, and over the past 2 days dismantled more than 30 such sites. Troops identified and destroyed a Hezbollah rocket launcher embedded in a civilian building, and an Israeli airstrike targeted Al-Hiniyeh and Nabatiya Al-Fawqa. IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir stated there is no ceasefire in southern Lebanon, and that troops may remain in the buffer zone until northern Israel is safe. However, Israeli commanders say government orders under the ceasefire terms are making it difficult to counter Hezbollah threats. Foreign Minister Gideon Saar told Al Arabiya that Hezbollah is still dragging Lebanon into war and that Israel will withdraw only when the Lebanese government and army exercise effective authority. President Trump reportedly told Netanyahu to limit strikes to surgical operations. Hezbollah lawmaker Ibrahim al-Musawi rejected President Joseph Arwin's remarks, suggesting the ceasefire gave Israel freedom to attack Lebanon, calling it a severe confusion. While Speaker Nabi Berri discussed developments with Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi. In Gaza, the Israeli Navy intercepted the global Sumud flotilla in international waters west of Crete, hundreds of nautical miles from Israel. 7 of 58 vessels were seized, and activists reported communications jamming, armed speedboats, and orders to kneel. An Israeli official said the decision to intercept far from shore was due to the flotilla's size, around 100 boats and 1,000 activists. The foreign ministry claimed medical aid found aboard consisted of condoms and drugs. Separately, 3 Palestinians, including a 9-year-old boy, were reportedly killed in an Israeli drone strike in the Gaza Strip. On the multilateral track, the UAE's exit from OPEC fractures the oil cartel and is seen as a boost for U.S. energy interests, with senators welcoming the move as weakening OPEC's influence. The UAE plans to raise production to over 4 million barrels per day by 2027, which could flood the market if Hormuz reopens. GCC leaders held an emergency summit in Saudi Arabia demanding the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. A senior Israeli diplomat met with the Russian envoy while spurning an EU representative amid a dispute over stolen Ukrainian grain allegedly reaching Israel. And in Syria, authorities arrested a former Assad-era general accused of involvement in the 2013 Ghouta chemical attack. In the anti-Semitism and threats abroad picture, 2 Jewish men were stabbed in Golders Green, North London, and police declared it a terrorist incident. The Iran-linked group Harakat Ashab al-Yamin al-Islamiyah claimed responsibility, saying one of its lone wolves carried out the attack. The UK Prime Minister condemned the attack as part of a series of serious assaults against the Jewish community and convened an emergency security meeting. In Rome, a Jewish man was arrested for allegedly shooting left-wing protesters with an air gun during Liberation Day celebrations. He reportedly confessed, and Jewish leaders condemned the act. Across other global developments, the UK government appealed a court ruling that blocked its ban on the anti-Israel group Palestine Action, with a watchdog warning the ban risks free speech. In Germany, an archbishop assumed political sponsorship for imprisoned Iranian human rights lawyer Nasrin Sotoudeh. In the Americas, Chilean police used water cannons against student protesters opposing government proposals to limit free higher education. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney faces pressure to deliver on promises, using Trump's attacks on allies to refocus Ottawa's foreign policy. Florida approved a new congressional map expected to shift 4 seats from Democrats to Republicans ahead of the midterm elections. In the Asia Pacific, a Japan-linked vessel with 3 Japanese crew members safely passed through the Strait of Hormuz, and the U.S. Commerce Department sent letters to major American chip-making firms, immediately banning certain exports to undercut China's advanced chip sector. In the broader Middle East, analysts caution against betting on Qatar standing by the U.S., citing its years of engagement with Iran, while Serbia cultivates a partnership with China while pursuing EU membership. Moving to the analysis. First, the trend. The operational tempo is accelerating on the Lebanon front, while the strategic standoff over Hormuz deepens. Over the trailing 7 days, Hezbollah attacks have shifted from sporadic drone and rocket fire to a sustained campaign of loitering glider strikes on IDF armor, with at least 4 confirmed hits in 72 hours. The IDF response has escalated in parallel, expanding strikes from southern Lebanon into the Bekaa Valley and now dismantling over 30 sites in 2 days. The protagonist set remains stable, but the flotilla interception and the London stabbing claimed by an Iran-linked group suggest the conflict is generating new dispersed fronts. The blockade's economic bite is deepening, but this has not yet translated into a change in Iran's diplomatic posture. On the information environment, 3 camps are competing to frame the current moment. The US-Israeli camp is pushing a narrative of irreversible pressure. Iran is economically strangled and its proxies are being degraded. The Iranian Hezbollah camp is framing the conflict as a war of attrition, where the resistance is inflicting steady costs and the blockade is a humanitarian crime. A third, quieter camp, Gulf States and Energy Markets, is framing the crisis as an unsustainable economic shock. The gap between reporting and evidence is widest on the Lebanon front. Hezbollah claims precise, effective strikes, while the IDF reports dismantling dozens of sites with no mention of own casualties. The truth likely lies in a grinding exchange where both sides are absorbing and inflicting damage, but neither narrative acknowledges the other's successes. And the synthesis: the blockade is achieving its immediate economic aim, crippling Iran's oil exports and fracturing OPEC, but it is simultaneously generating escalatory pressures that could outpace diplomatic off-ramps. The UAE's exit from OPEC is a strategic win for Washington, but it also removes a key internal voice for production restraint, meaning any future Hormuz reopening could unleash a flood of supply that crashes prices and destabilizes petrostates. Meanwhile, the flotilla interception and the London attack show that the conflict is metastasizing into asymmetric, deniable forms that are harder to deter. A plausible counter-reading is that Iran is being slowly strangled and will eventually capitulate. This reading is weaker because it underestimates the regime's demonstrated willingness to absorb economic pain and externalize costs through proxies and terror. The London stabbing is a warning that the price of victory may include domestic attacks in Western capitals, which could shift public opinion against the blockade. And now, the OSINT indicators and dual lens predictions. 3 indicators to watch. Check Flight Radar 24 for any Iranian military cargo flights, such as IRGC-affiliated Puya Air, departing Mehrabad or Shiraz toward Damascus or Latakia in the next 48 hours to detect resupply activity. Review Sentinel-1 synthetic aperture radar imagery of Bandar Abbas Naval Base, Orbit 174, descending pass around 3:30 UTC, for changes in vessel dispersal or loading activity, indicating blockade posture shifts. And monitor the Telegram channel Sabarin News for posting cadence and any claims of attacks on U.S. assets in Iraq or Syria as a proxy indicator of Iranian-directed escalation tempo. Under a status quo lens, 3 predictions. The Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through May 3rd with no resumption of direct kinetic exchange. Hezbollah will claim at least 2 more successful loitering glider strikes on IDF vehicles in southern Lebanon before May 2nd. And Brent crude will close above $115 per barrel on May 1st. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, An Iran-linked proxy group will conduct a terrorist attack on a Western target outside the Middle East before May 3rd, explicitly citing the blockade as motivation, with low confidence. The IDF will launch airstrikes on Hezbollah targets in the Bekaa Valley that result in more than 10 reported civilian casualties, prompting Lebanese government condemnation and a temporary halt to IDF operations, with low confidence, and a U.S. Navy vessel will fire warning shots at an Iranian speedboat approaching a blockade enforcement ship in the Strait of Hormuz before May 2nd, with low confidence. That concludes this Sitrep. For more, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_Sitreps. This is Mike Rash, signing off from Jerusalem.